Well, it becomes pretty convincing when the Lord keeps saying what He's saying tonight. And as I listened to the first two songs that we sang, I thought, well, I don't need to say what I have to say because the Lord's already said it in song. And then when Matthew gets up and says what he says. But I will give you what I feel like the Lord has given me, and I feel like that I came here to give encouragement and to be encouraged. I think about this is the last day of the year, facing a new year, and that's always creates apprehension and uncertainty about tomorrow. And there tends to be some fear, and I find that the devil likes to work in those kinds of places. He likes to get us in a uncertain place. He likes to get us confused. He likes to get us to a place where we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And the truth is, we don't. But there are some certainties that we can depend upon tonight that will help us with tomorrow's and the next year. And one of the things, and I think it's the foundation of everything that we are, is the love of God that Matthew was talking about tonight. I'd like to turn to a scripture in the 1 John, the 4th chapter. Desire your prayers. I'd like to talk a little bit this evening about living secure in an unsecure world. Beginning at the 12th verse, it says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." I'm thinking about this very first phrase here as we start. No man hath seen God at any time. Now, that is the quandary that we as human beings face. The fact is that God is not a human being. He came as a human being at one time, and that is not what He's referring to here. He's speaking of the eternal God in heaven. No man hath ever seen Him. Moses probably came the closest when he saw the hinder parts of Him when He was up on the mount. But you and I are human beings with physical capabilities of seeing, touching, feeling. And those senses that we have are the things that we measure our life by. We live by them. That's how we approach the day, what it looks like. You wake up, you look out the window. Is it raining? Is it sunshining? Is it snowing? And it tends to set the pattern for the day. What I feel, do I feel good? Am I aching? Am I sore? Am I sick? Or am I well? And we feel that way. And God isn't that way. God's a spirit. And you and I are flesh. And we haven't seen Him with our naked eye. But He said, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And His love is perfected in us. There's something about this interaction between me and you and our understanding of those interactions that brings us to God and helps us to be able to see God and understand who God really is. And as we heard this evening already, God is love. And if we can comprehend, as has already been mentioned, it's difficult for us to comprehend love. But if we can ever truly comprehend what love is, then we can begin to understand a little bit about God. And we'll be able to see God. It said, "Hereby know we, or no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Now that was what Brother Matthew was talking about. The fact is, we are chastised sometimes. We do go through hard places. That is not an evidence that God is not there. When bad things happen, that doesn't mean God's disappeared. It actually means God is there. We are not able to comprehend sometimes with our rational mind why things happen all the time, especially why bad things happen. But we can understand whenever we get into those bad places that God is there. He identifies Himself. He makes Himself manifest to us right in the middle of those hard places. And it is only usually when we go through those hard places that we truly see God. He said, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, the Father, I want us to get this picture tonight. The Father, he sent the Son. The Son was the visible evidence of God here on this earth for a period of time. They saw him. They talked to him. They communed with him. They ate with him. He sent him for the purpose of our Savior, recognizing that we all need it. All of us, in and of ourselves, are insecure. Meaning, we're unsafe. We're not safe in ourselves. We can't live to ourselves. We can't die to ourselves. We came into the world needing somebody else to take care of us. That's why we're born into a family. That's why we have a mom and a dad. That's why we have a father that is to guide our lives, to protect us, offer security and offer the safety, because I'm very, very, very vulnerable when I'm a little baby, aren't I? I can't do anything for myself. I need somebody to feed me, to clothe me, get me up, put me to bed. All the things that I can't do any of that. I need somebody else to do that. And so God provided me with parents to do that. And if I will, if I'm in that kind of safe place, I can grow up safe in there with security. Knowing that when I go home, when I grow up old enough to get up and go outside and go by, I can come into the house and I'm safe. When mom and dad come home, or dad comes home to our house, I'm safe. I'm not going to be beaten by my dad. He's not going to come home drunk and beat up on my mother. See, if I'm in that safe place, then I can be secure as a child growing up in that place. That's a wonderful... You children that are growing up in that kind of setting today, you don't know how blessed you are. It's such a wonderful thing as a baby, as a one-year-old, as a five-year-old, even a teenager. The safest place you can possibly be, even though sometimes you struggle and kick against the pricks that are at home, the safest place you can be is in a home where mom and dad are loving you. We try to escape that because that's part of us, but the... Also, we need to understand, not only am I physically safe, but if I come up in a home where mom and dad teach me some valuable things about life, values of right and wrong, of what I should do and how I should live my life, and how I shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that, and these should be my goals, and these are the things that are important, these are the things that are less important. I teach those by my lifestyle, by the way I live. I communicate to my children safety or insecurity. In spite of all that we do as parents, the best we can do, your children still grow up with insecurities. There are still things about their lives that they don't feel comfortable with. Maybe it's their looks. Maybe it's their personality. Maybe it's whatever. There's many... I worked around people a long time, and I note over and over and over again, most people have some insecurities in their life. Some of them cover it up. They're brash. They're bold. They get out there and they'll get in your face, and it's like, you know, nothing bothers me, nothing affects me. But all of that is a facade protecting them from those deep down insecurities. I don't know why they were there altogether. It's not necessarily even mom and dad's fault. It's just we're part of the human family. The human family without God is insecure. We're unsafe. We can't live in this world. And I think one of the things that bothers me or troubles me, that me and my wife talk about sometimes, and you probably have too, as we face another year of 2012, that it's getting more unsafe the longer we go. You get concerned about... We just told somebody today, you know, I'm not sure I want to bring children into this world that we're living in today. There's so much out there. It's an unsafe world that we live in. As much as we can protect them and put an umbrella around them to keep them from getting in trouble and keep them from being exposed, They get exposed, don't they? And a lot of times the exposure creates insecurities in their lives and makes them feel less than capable of handling their life. Thank the Lord. The sooner you acknowledge them, the better off you're going to be. The sooner you're able to say, hey, I can't make it in this world. I don't know how. It bothers me. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Things like going up and knocking on doors and saying, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm trying to sell this to you, or I'm trying to, whether it's offering them a track or a invitation to a service or whatever, all of that, I struggle greatly with that. Some people, they just love it, I guess. Or maybe it's all a facade. I don't know. But there's a lot of insecurities in us. And all of that points us, should anyway. And as we've noted, people that live in loving atmospheres have less. I mean, most of you know that I work with boys that are at high-risk boys, and their insecurities are all over their face. They're just unsafe. And our first responsibility where I work is to provide a safe environment for them. Physically safe, and then emotionally safe. One of the ways to get fired really quick is to threaten them. You threaten one of the boys and you're gone. Because, number one, we want to create a safe environment. Because they have lived in unsafe environments. They don't know what it's like to come home to a loving family. They don't know what it's... I had a boy just recently, and he's recently got saved, and he's about 17 years old, and he went home for Christmas. And because he's become a Christian, his parents had enough respect. The mother's a druggie, and the dad's an alcoholic. He told me, and when he come back, he said, my mom and dad, they put the alcohol in the back bedroom where they could for their Christmas parties, and because that's all they ever knew. And I was just trying to imagine, here's a boy that had extreme drug problems and alcohol problems, and he goes home, and there's the tub with ice and with beer all over the place, you know, and they respectfully put it in another bedroom. Now, that's sort of safe for him. But see, you and I don't comprehend that sometimes. We don't understand what it feels like to feel threatened by everybody or to feel unsafe around everybody. And I want to transfer this over tonight because that's what we're really talking about. I heard someone recently say, you know, they were going through a hard time. They were going through battles, spiritual battles. And they said, I don't know if I have any relationship at all with the Lord. And I know the person. I know they have relationship with the Lord. I know that they have loved the Lord with their hearts and their soul. And yet they felt insecure in their soul. They felt like God wasn't anywhere around. And the devil jumps all over that. And what I want to help us to see tonight is in God there's security. It isn't something that song, I'll rehearse it again. It's been rehearsed twice now, but we'll do it again. He said, the soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. I hope tonight, if you don't learn or get anything else from what I say, that you will get that into your mind, into your heart, and believe that. God is not interested in casting you off. He's not interested in making you have to get down and crawl to see if you get across the line. And just before you cross the line, He kicks you back over, off of it. That is not the God of love that I know. This is my Heavenly Father that loves me with an eternal love. He loved me before while I was yet in sin. He died. He sent Christ to die for me. He gave up His only Son that you and I might find security in this insecure world. Appreciate it. Am I preaching eternal security tonight? Yes. There is eternal security in God. Not once you're saved, you're always saved. But in God, you can be safe and secure in it. Quit letting the devil cast you off and get you scared and get you feel like he's got you right up here, the Lord does, and he's holding you by the hair of your head, and if you don't do it just right, you're out of here. The devil likes to get us to feel that way. It's not the truth. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be Savior of the world. How can we be so sure? Because Jesus came. He came to save us. You can't save yourself. You can't make your life secure. Securities, money, whatever it takes to make you feel confident in yourself, all of those things, they don't last. They'll fall apart. The money's going to go. It's going to lose its value. It's all the things that you and I hold on to make us secure. And sometimes you and I, in this kind of setting, we hold on to each other for security. And there is a security in this. I appreciate the family of God. They are my safe haven in a world of trouble. It is refreshing to come and be around people that love you and that you don't have to feel threatened by. It's a wonderful privilege that we have. Let's share that with others, as we also heard. Because others don't feel that. Others don't know that that's true for them. It is, and you and I, if we're not careful, we won't be so sure either. And if the devil can get you to begin to question that, he's got an inroad into you. And he'll begin to undermine your faith. He'll begin to get you to fear tomorrow and fear what it's going to bring. Because it is uncertain. This year, we don't know what it's going to hold. There are a lot of signs around us that indicate that we're coming down to the end. But that doesn't have to make us afraid. Perfect love casteth out that fear. He said, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Have you given yourself to God? Have you confessed in your heart, believing that Jesus died for you and saved you? Receive that. Accept that into your heart and life. If you've never done that, this is a good time to start. And if you have, then begin to build on that. Believe on that. Don't let the devil steal that from you. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Only your own will can cause you to turn away from Him. Can all of these hard places, perplexities and stuff, separate you? No, none of these. We can be secure in Christ's love. We can be assured, as the song said, that He's not going to let you go. He'll never forsake you. If you are saved tonight, you cannot be separated from God. You can separate yourself from Him. You can turn away from Him. You can walk away from your salvation. It can be done. But you'll do it at God's earnest pleading for you. Don't go! Don't go! He'll put things in your way. He'll put places in you to fall flat on your face where they get hard and they get painful. And if you've been struggling in your experience and you're going through hard places, you begin to thank the Lord for that. Because that's a blessing of God that leads men to repentance, to where He can turn around and begin to get His life back in shape again. God's eternal purpose is to save your soul and get you to heaven. And I have seen Him do it over and over again. I've seen Him do it with people right among us that have lived sloppy lives, that haven't lived very careful in their life. And yet there was deep inside them, they had a heart and a desire to serve the Lord and live for the Lord. And I've watched God take them right in the ends of their life, bring them down and put them in a difficult place, and they cry out for mercy. And God forgive them and take them right on to heaven. God loves us. God wants us to go to heaven more than we want to go ourselves. Don't forget that. We have known and believed. Listen to this. We have known. And when I think of this, he breaks it down into two parts here. We have known and believed. the love that God hath to us. Think about, first of all, we've known about that love, haven't we? I believe we could stand here or sit here for the next couple hours, and person after person could stand up and testify of the proof that God loves them. He's shown it over and over again. And you and I have that heritage. You and I have, we've experienced that. Can you imagine growing up in a home or in a situation where you never even had a clue that that was available? Yeah, that's in Africa. No, that's in the United States. It's happening right now around us. The boy I told you that recently got saved, he grew up in that home. He had no idea that God loved him. He didn't really know who God was. He didn't know. He told us one day when we were talking in group, he said, "I don't know how to act around good people. I've never been around them. I'm afraid of them. All I know is bad people. And so I live, that's where I go. I go to school, I head for the bad ones." Well, now all of a sudden, it's remarkable. It's an experience that you and I need to experience frequently. To see somebody that had no clue, all of a sudden find out, God loves me. And that there is a possibility for something different than what I've always known. That's the Lord God that we know. You and I, many times, I think about us when we talk about the prodigal son and the father that had two sons. You and I, many times, are like that older brother that stays at home and works and does what he's supposed to do. He don't go out and do the things that are out there. He doesn't go out and experience sin as the prodigal did. Throw his money away and waste it. No, I stayed in. I did good. I tried to live my life right. And that's wonderful. It's better to stay than to go and ruin your life and mess things up. But when it came to the end of it, he wasn't enjoying it either. He had somehow lost the vision of what his father had to offer. His father owned everything. And yet he was sitting there, "I didn't get a party. I didn't get a fatted calf." Well, these were here for you. You could have one every day. You and I tonight don't really know how much God loves us. We've lived under the security and the safety of it. Sometimes I don't think you even realize. I think you, the children that have grown up in these kinds of settings and homes, I don't think they really comprehend about mom and dad's love for them until they get their own. Oh, that changes it, doesn't it? You know that there is nothing that any of my children could do? Nothing that would cause me to stop loving them? Nothing. Doesn't mean I agree with everything they do. Doesn't mean I don't get disappointed and displeased, sometimes angry at what they do. But that doesn't change the fact I love them. And any time they want to get on that phone and call Dad up and start talking, whatever it's about, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. I wouldn't cast that off. I would drop whatever else I was doing for that. So does our Father. That's the way our Father in heaven is. He loves us. We've known about that, haven't we? I want us to believe it tonight in a greater measure. I want us to believe that God truly loves us. He has not forsaken us. God hath to us, God is love. He can't help it. God can't help but love us. And you know, that's kind of the way we are as fathers and mothers, right? We can't help it. As much as we sometimes don't agree, I still love them. It's because it's who we are. And that's what God is. God is that way too. Again, children, you don't quite comprehend what that means, that your mom and dad have those kind of feelings for you. Because I've told some of you here, I've watched a girl in shackles on her ankles give up her parental rights for a little 3-year-old boy because she couldn't kick drugs. She was willing to give up her parental rights because she couldn't give up her drugs. That's hard for a child to accept. Three-year-olds kind of probably don't understand that. But for some reason or another, his mom's not there. Somebody else is substituting for that. Well, you know, God wants us to realize that He is here. And that He is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now this is critical. The most critical apex of our whole life is when we stand before God. That's going to be the point that everything has pointed toward when I stand before God. And He wants me to not be afraid of that. And you know, you don't have to be. Concerned, careful, diligent, making everything certain and sure, all of those things are wisdom. But I don't have to be afraid. I can say, even come now, Lord Jesus. Because why? How can I know that? Because God has proven that He loves me. And I can have that, He said, that love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That perfection of that love, it's a study in itself. But watching God develop perfect love in us, or a return love. That's what perfect love is. Love is not really complete unless it's back and forth, right? God's already loved us. Proven His love. Proven His love, and you can't change it. There's nothing anybody else in this audience here can do to change the fact that God loves. Nothing you can do, nothing you can say to God that'll tell Him that you need to quit loving Brother Tony. Because God loves me. See? Now, perfect love is whenever I love Him in return. That's when it's real. And that's when it is fulfilled. And when it's completed, and the way He does that is what Matthew was talking about earlier. We go through the hard places. We go through the trials. We go through the painful places. We go through those lonely times, the low places in our lives. So that God can... Is He bullying us? Is He trying to make our lives miserable? No. He's trying to show that He loves us in a tangible way. It's like He said, you can't really know what... how wonderful or how bad pain is until you've been completely freed from it. Or whenever you've gone through have you ever had one of those headaches all night long that just bang, bang, right in here? And you wake up, finally you go to sleep and you wake up and the first thing you think is, it's gone. Feels so good. Many mornings I wake up when I didn't have a headache the night before, and I wake up and I don't even think about whether my head's feeling good or not. So, the fact I experienced the headache caused me to appreciate one more time what it feels like not to have one. Well, you and I, because God is a Spirit, we've got to understand and comprehend Him in the Spirit. And the Spirit that He wants to manifest Himself through is the Spirit of love in our hearts. And He wants to help us to identify and understand that even though we go through all those places, that He still loves us. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I'd like to turn to the scripture there in 2 Thessalonians that was above the song that we sang, How Firm a Foundation. 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning at the first verse, finally, brethren, pray for us. And I'd like for us to personalize this for a minute. I'd like for us to think about this in the terms of pray for me. When you think of me, you pray for me. And we need to pray for each other. For what? Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Now, I know that can mean, and Paul was talking to the church here, that he was praying that the word of the Lord that he was presenting would have a free course, that it would be able to go to the places that it needed to go to and to the people that it needed to go to. But let's think of it in terms of this evening about ourselves. You prayed for me that the word of the Lord will have its free course in my life, that it may be able to begin to penetrate into my insecurities. Yeah, we have them. And I need the Lord to secure those insecurities. I need Him where you might have grown up and you might have felt like that somehow or another your parents' love for you was lacking. Maybe you thought they liked your brother better than you liked yourself or one of your other siblings. Or maybe you thought that they never really took time for you like you wished they had of. Whatever those are small compared to some people's insecurities. But whatever those are, God is wanting to fill those. God wants to help us become whole through the freedom of His Word working through us and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. That's love. Faithfulness is His evidence of His love. He's been there over and over again. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, what I would like for us to end this year with, and as we end it, begin a new year with the very same thought. Let's let the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God. Now, over there in 1 John, you can read it. Much of what he said about love was the way we manifest that is how we love one another. You can begin, and if you want to make New Year's resolutions, you need to begin to think about loving one another in a greater measure. And love is giving. Love is doing what you can for your fellow man. Yeah, for those that are in Africa and those that are hurting and those that are at risk and those that are in the places. But not only that, we need love too. We need to know that we love each other. I need to know that you love me. And you need to know that I love you. Because we're living in a very dark world where most people are so tied up into their own selves that they don't have time for anyone else. And it's sad. And if you sit down long enough with them, they'll start talking to you and telling you about their woes and their pain. And there's something about you that wants to help them if you love God, because you want to love and help those that are hurting. But sometimes we just need loved. We need to know that we love one another. Let's seek to love one another with a pure heart. And unto the patient waiting for Christ. He's coming back. I don't know about the 2012 stuff. I don't believe in that. They tried it last year, didn't they? And they've been trying it over. It's just not reality. But He is coming back. We don't have to be afraid. We can have a patient waiting. Sometimes we get this idea that, well, I've got to make sure that it falls right at the right point in time, because sometimes I don't feel real good. Sometimes I don't really feel real spiritual. Sometimes I'm going through my dry place. Do you think that all of us are going to be going through a glorious time on that day that He comes back? I don't think so. I think some of us are going to be glorying, and some of us are going to be going through a dry place, and some of us are going to be going through the daily routines, and some of us are going through hard places, and some of us are going to be wondering whether the Lord's forsaken me or not, and all of a sudden, He's going to appear. And the only ones that are going to go to heaven are those that feel glory, right? I hope not. I believe the Lord wants to take us to heaven. And he's not going to take us there because we have, even though we have sin in our lives, no. But he knows that we're flesh. He knows that we're human. Self-made securities. I figured out how to do it now. I've got that thing conquered. So now, yeah, the Lord wants us to conquer those places, but we do that through Him. If you did it in your own strength, you're probably going to find out that you fall again over it someplace, sometime. Because the Lord wants you to do it in Him. He wants to get the glory for all of our victories and all of our blessings. Let's give it to Him. And in the meantime, let's feel safe. Let's feel like when we get in with the Father, that the Father is going to take care of us. That if you're hungry, will He give you a stone? No, He will give you a stone to eat. If you're hungry, He's going to go find some food. If you're burdened down, do you think He's going to push you away? If you're struggling, do you think He's going to cast you off? Or if you're in distress, if you're in perplexities, no. All of those things can't separate us from the love of Christ. Don't let the devil steal what Christ died for and what He offers to us abundantly. Let's hold on to it. Let's let our faith be built up into this firm, firm, solid foundation. This, our trust is in the faithfulness of God. Does He want us to be faithful? For sure. For sure. And He will work a lifetime building up our most holy faith in Him. But ultimately, this rests on His shoulders. Let's let Him carry the big part of the load. Amen.